Today on the Word of Truth Revealed.
History after the death of Moses and all of the things that we covered at 8 o'clock this morning is very unique. But let me deal with the Davidic covenant, God's plan for the ages. When God established David as king over Israel and promised to make his name great, he wasn't just talking to David, but he was talking to his bloodline, to those kings that would come from him, and to the man called Christ.
Celebrating 32 years of ministry, you're listening to The Word of Truth Revealed with Bishop Merton L. Clark, author, speaker, and lead pastor of Truth Revealed International Ministries, a spirit-filled fellowship of believers located in Palm Bay, Florida.
Join Bishop for the message, Jesus, the Son of David. Today, Bishop will be teaching from 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 1 through 17.
Samuel said to God, if I do that and Saul hears about it, he will kill me. God said, don't worry about it, I got something for you. Disguise yourself. I want you to go down there and offer sacrifices. If anybody asks you why you're there, tell them you're offering sacrifices. Don't tell me God don't know how to hide you. Some of you think you need to tell everybody every little detail of what's going on in your life. But you don't need to do that. Follow the heart of God. And when God instructed Samuel to go down, his length of grief over Saul was so severe that he was the premier prophet. He heard God say go down, but he missed God when it comes to selecting the king. The first boy that stood, he said, oh, surely he's the Lord's anointed. God said, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? Don't even look at his outer appearance. I've already refused him. I know his nature. If I pulled him as king, he would be just like the previous one, standing in the mirror, talking about how fine he is. I don't need that. I've already seen it. I need somebody that's got a heart after me. The second son came. Woo, he's fine. My God. Samuel said, let me anoint. God said, nope, don't anoint him either. He's not the one. He goes through this process 7 times. We're talking about a man that when God speaks, he can hear him even as a lad. But he missed it 7 times. Let me tell you why he missed it. It's because he grieved over the previous move too long. And if you don't get your head together, God can be trying to move you now, and you'll be grieving over something that happened when he's shifting you in a new dimension now and miss the whole move of God. Many of us don't have 7 tries to get it right now. You can't afford to try to get it right 7 times. This is a critical moment for many of us. You got wars and rumors of wars, nations rising against nations, and the time is short. You can't sit back there and miss this moment. This is your moment, glory to God, to do what God has called you to do. You can't sit there and say, well, I'll try it next year, then the next year after that, and wait 7 years to fulfill the plan of God. God is saying you need to move now. And I don't know who I'm preaching to, but I'm preaching to someone that has a critical moment in your life and you need to hear clearly what God is saying now. Let the fog go. Get the earplugs out. Hear the voice of God. Make sure you're in tune with God and don't allow grief to dull you so you can't hear God clearly during this time in this season. Grieving over what you lost can hinder your prophetic eye today. Thank you, Jesus. That's the lesson from Samuel. Grieving over what you lost can stop you from stepping into your moment right now. God trying to give you something so big, the blessing is so big, it would seem like the past season was a dream. Psalm 127, 126, and 127, and when he turned the captivity of Zion, it was as if they had dreamed. I need you to put that up for me. That is Psalm 126. Let's look at that. If it's not, that is Psalm 127. I need you to go to that. Please write it in your notes because I hear it in my spirit. It is amazing. This is Psalm 126, verse 1. When the Lord brought back the captivity of Zion, when he turned it, when he turned it, he released them from their captivity. Everything that they went through seemed like a dream to them. Thank you, Lord. Let me tell you something. I don't care how hard it is. I don't care how rough it is. I don't care how severe it is. When God turns it, if you're in your moment, what you went through would seem like you went through a dream. You went to sleep one night, had a bad dream, woke up, ooh, I'm glad that was a dream, and you're able to move forward in your life. When the thing that you went through doesn't seem like a dream, it means your captivity hasn't been turned. Thank you, Jesus. Or you are grieving over the past season way too long, and you got stuck. You became a monument when you should be a movement. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Let's look at the next verse of this wonderful chapter. It's a short chapter, but I got to give it to you. The Bible says, then our mouths was filled with laughter. In other words, when God turns your captivity and when you stop grieving over things, the next thing is joy. Joy in worship, joy in relationship, joy in fulfillment, but you got to let God turn your captivity. You're not supposed to revisit Babylon all of the time. You're not supposed to go back to Babylon trying to rehearse what happened and what you went through and all of these things. Go back to verse 2 for a moment. You're not supposed to go back to Babylon or Egypt trying to pick up stuff and trying to work things out. What we want to do is move with God. Come on. Move with the Holy Spirit. Move to a place of oneness. Move to unity. Move to worship. Move to connectedness. Move to where God is calling you to move. And our mouth was filled with laughter. And our tongue with joyful shouting. Look at the word. Then they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. That's what you will say when he turns your captivity. The Lord has done great things for them. But it even goes into more intimacy. Look at verse 3. Not only does the Lord do great things for them. Look at this. The Lord has done great things. Look at this. For us. There's a lot of people, they vicariously praise. They can look at what God did for you and they say, man, that's good. The Lord has done great things for them. That's a person who's disconnected. But when you're connected in your moment and he turns your captivity, you won't say the Lord did great things for them. You will have your own testimony. The Lord has done great things. Watch this. For us. All of us. We came through the storm. We came through the pandemic. We came through some rough times. We came through some disappointments, some dissatisfaction. But thanks be to God because he brought me out and caused me, hallelujah, to come up out of the horrible pit, out of the muck and the miry clay, out of that sand, out of that quagmire, and he set my foot on the rock and established my going and put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Can somebody say amen? I'm preaching myself happy. And the Lord has done great things for us. Look at this. We are what? Glad. We are glad. When's the last time you actually will say, I'm glad? You don't have to wait until you get more money to say I'm glad. You can tap into the joy of the Lord, which is your strength. You don't have to wait until all of your enemies leave you to say I'm glad. You can do it by faith. Look at the next verse, verse 4. Glory to God. Bring back our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. He's saying, if the joy feels this good, I'm willing to endure another trial. If the joy on the other side of this is this good, then bring it back, because I know when you transform me again, when you transition me again, I'm going to experience the joy of the Lord at a new height and a new dimension. Think about that. It is good for many of us to be afflicted. You wouldn't even know the blessing of the Lord unless you went through the previous season. Glory to God. Let's look at the next verse, and I'm out of here. We got to make sure we get it. Look at this. Those who sow in tears. Come on, help me complete it. How many haven't even been crying. I mean, maybe not physical tears, but in your soul, you've just been sad. I mean, really sad. Oh, man, I'm preaching to somebody. I'm talking about really sad. Don't even know why you're sad. Don't know why you can't smile. Why everybody else is praising, and it looks like the parade is passing you by. But God told me to tell you, those who sowed in tears shall reap in joy. And I decree and declare a harvest, not a seed of joy, a harvest of joy that will become perpetual in the name of Jesus. Your smile is coming back. Your heart is going to be lifted again. Your mind is going to be regulated. You don't need to go on a vacation to smile. He's going to make you smile in the place where you've had the worst trial in the name of Jesus. And I'm preaching myself happy. Glory to God. Let's go back to 2 Samuel 7. And it happened that night, the Lord came to Nathan saying, go and tell my servant David, thus saith the Lord, will you build a house for me? I've been dwelling in tents and moving from one tent and tabernacle to the other. Verse 7, wherefore I have moved about with all of the children of Israel, and I have spoken a word to anyone from the tribes of Israel when I commanded to shepherd my people. Have I ever spoken a word to anyone from the tribes of Israel when I commanded to shepherd my people, Israel, saying, why have you not built me a house of cedar? Now therefore, thus saith the Lord, my servant David, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I took you from the sheephold. Before he gives him a covenant, he takes him on a journey for how far he brought him. And right now, I want you to reflect on how far he brought you, because this is going to keep you grounded with the next blessing he's about to release to you. The only reason he wants you to look through your rearview mirror right now is because it's going to keep you humble. Look at the word. I took you from the sheepfold, from following the sheep, to ruling over my people, to ruling over Israel. And I've been with you wherever you have gone. I'm preaching to somebody today. Every season of your life, he was there. When you didn't know it, he was there. He says, and I cut off your enemies from before you. And I made you a great name. Some people don't understand how powerful a name is. But God is making names great. Even no names. I'm talking about names that were never decreed. Names that were never decreed or spoken of. God is making your name great. Why? Because he's been with you and it's your season. Glory to God. Glory to God. And I've been with you wherever you've gone. And I've cut off your enemies from before you and made you a great name. Look at this, like the names of great men who are on the earth. Moreover, I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and I will plant them, and they will dwell in a place of their own and move no more. Regulation is coming to your descendants, nor shall the sons of the wickedness oppress them any longer. Liberation is coming to your seed. As previously. In other words, what happened to you will not happen to them. The rejection that you received, the hatred that you went through, the discontentment and the dissatisfaction. Look at the covenant that I'm making with you. It stops with you. Glory to God. Verse 11, since the time that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel, I have caused you to rest from all of your enemies. Also, the Lord tells you that he will make you a house. You want to build me a house, but I'm going to make you one. Not a house as it relates to brick and mortar, but I'm going to make you a spiritual blessing, a spiritual building that others will be able to come inside of. Glory to God. Now, I know this is a prophetic announcement of the one, glory to God, the one that Paul talked about. The grace that God has given me, Paul said, as a wise master builder. Some lay foundation, but no one should lay a different foundation than the one that is laid. And that is the foundation of Christ Jesus. Peter said he is the chief cornerstone. Paul said he is the foundation. So he must be the foundation and the chief cornerstone. And he has grafted all of us into the house. And the way you're proved to be in the house of God, Peter said, you must go through the fire of rejection. And if you've ever been dejected or rejected in any way and you accept Jesus, it is proof that you should be in his house. Glory to God. And it was Nathan that told David, God says, I'm going to make you a house. You and your anointing and what I'm causing you to do, this everlasting kingdom will be a house of refuge for generations to come, even for the entire world. Thank you, God. Let me just tell you something about God. His plans for you are bigger than what you could ever imagine. Some of us are settling with what we see right now. Say, ooh, I made it. But remember, he does exceedingly, abundantly, come on, above all that you can ask or what? Imagine. He says it's beyond your imagination. Well, I really believe many of us, when we stand before Jesus and he lays out what he intended for you to have, you're going to weep in how you settled to live beneath your privilege. Because he has so much more for us. Touch your neighbor and say, the just must live by faith. If you don't get no word, because faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God, you can't really imagine the mind of God. You can't even picture it. That's why you settle with your two and no more. High steeples and few peoples. There are people that want to pastor three members and just and got high steeples and say that's the church. God wants you to know he's got exceedingly abundantly above that for you. I'll preach myself happy. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to make you a house, a spiritual building. Look at verse 12. Then your days, when your days are fulfilled and you rest. Now we move into the covenant. He's saying there's some things that I'm going to do for your descendants, David, but now I'm moving beyond your lifespan. When you rest with your fathers, I will set up your seed. Here's a promise that insurance companies can't give you. I don't know why we're going after secular and we don't ever want to go after sacred. You can spend your money all day in stock markets and have enough to take care of everything. But if you want your seed to be blessed, you got to learn how to give to God. I know we don't speak enough about it, but we're transitioning that in our church. As we raise to another level of financial IQ, we're going to start talking about not just how you can prosper in the stock market and with annuities, but we need to know when you sow into the kingdom of God, you can expect a harvest. You can expect God blessing you. God is still at work. Hallelujah. He still blesses seed. And I'm not going to back off of the principle. I'm going to tighten it up a little bit. And I'm going to go after some of you that don't say, you don't even feel like you need to give. And when it's time to give, you get ghosted and you want to get gone. But God says, I'm bringing back to the church people who love God, who love the tithe and give and support the work of God, because I'm going to do something in your life that has generational continuity to it. I will set up your seed after you, who will come from your body. Ooh, Jesus. They're going to come from your loins. In other words, when you trace the line of this seed, they're going to come through your loins. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Aren't you glad that God's going to bless someone that comes from your seed? Let me just speak to the seed. The Bible says when Abraham gave his tithe to Melchizedek, God called him blessed, not only him, but Levi, who was in his loins, who had never manifested. I mean, you got Abraham, you didn't have Isaac yet, and you didn't even have Jacob, and you didn't have 12 sons. They're still locked up in Jacob's body. Jacob is still locked up in Isaac's body. Isaac is still locked up in Abraham's body. None of them had manifested. But because God is awesome, he can look through genealogy and through time. And he called Levi, the third son of Jacob, blessed, and called him a giver. He saw him giving. Thank you, Lord. As God is beginning to unfold, out of your body will come this man. And he's going to build me a house. We know Solomon built the house, but he's extending it beyond Solomon. This one will have a kingdom that will last forever. Glory to God. History after the death of Moses and all of the things that we covered at 8 o'clock this morning is very unique. But let me deal with the Davidic covenant, God's plan for the ages. When God established David as king over Israel and promised to make his name great, he wasn't just talking to David, but he was talking to his bloodline and to those kings that would come from him and to the man called Christ. He says, he'll give David a royal kingdom in which the promises made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, even Israel, will be fulfilled through his lineage. So every covenant that he made, starting with Abraham, all the way through Moses, even now, will be fulfilled through the seed of David. And I will raise up a Davidic descendant who will build a house for the Lord, and his throne and kingdom will last forever. God's steadfast love, his covenant keeping ability, would never depart from the descendants of David. Glory to God. This is God's plan for redemption. And with every covenant that he made, from Noah to the Mosaic, to Abraham, and then to the Mosaic, and now to David, is a semblance of the plan of redemption. Even after Adam fell, if you notice, yes, God cursed the serpent. Yes, he told the woman, your desire shall be to your husband, and from birth you will experience pain. This is how I'm going to tie you to your babies. You're going to have some discomfort. And then you'll love them when you go through pain. And I know that sounds crazy, but ladies, you're built like that. And when you bypass that, you'll have an easy ability to pass them on to grandkids. Give me that epidural. Woo! Give me that epidural quickly. Quickly. When you bypass total pain and say, I don't want none, because sometimes we have to have C-sections. We understand that. But when you don't want no pain at all, it's easier for you to detach from the baby. This is how God keeps you tied. Glory, hallelujah. And when you're giving birth to anything in the kingdom, it's going to come through pressure. Glory to God. Can you understand what it's like to stand here and give birth to a new move? Let me tell you something. There's pressure with it. I know I'm male, but I give birth all the time. I give birth, I push things out all the time, and it comes with a lot of anguish and pain. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Make no mistake about it. This is all alpha. So I want to make sure anybody that's watching me, make sure you understand that. I ain't trying to play with that. I'm just simply saying to you, in the spirit we give birth. And pressure comes with it. Glory to God.
Thanks for joining us for the Word of Truth Revealed. If you were blessed by today's message, we would love to hear from you. You can email us at thewordoftruth@truthrevealed.org. For an MP3 of today's message titled Jesus, the Son of David, log on to our website at www.truthrevealed.org and download reference number 2204-1011. That's reference number 2204-1011.
Bishop has been working on his new podcast, Envision. Where there is no vision, the people perish. This podcast is designed to impact nations. You will be able to subscribe to Envision on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Anchor, or any podcast platform. Let's support our bishop by sharing the news with friends, family, and coworkers today. Get ready for Special Forces Boots on the Ground Ambassadors for Christ Evangelism Training Day on Saturday, October 8th from 8 a.m. until noon. The training is designed to help churches and individuals become more effective and confident in sharing the Christian faith with others. It will all take place at Truth Reveal. Check out the Truth Reveal mobile app or the website to register. CARE Learning Center is looking for volunteers to tutor students in grades K through 12 and college. Although teachers are preferred, other caring professionals are also considered. Check out the Truth Reveal mobile app or the website to sign up. Are you ready for a sense of belonging, connecting, growing strong, and serving well? New members' classes are still in session. Email connect@truthreveal.org to get started.
Again, thank you for joining us and have a blessed day.
You are listening to WWBC, Cocoa, Merritt Island, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, 94.7 FM, W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, Indian Atlantic, Indian Harbor Beach, Satellite Beach, 100.7 FM, and W260CL, Coco, 99.9 FM. Thank you.